Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tethys Oil AB report for the fourth quarter 2014. Today, I'm pleased to present Magnus Nordin, Managing Director, and Morgan Tsvangirai, the CFO. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there'll be a question and answer session. Speakers, please begin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends and investors. We are delighted to address you for yet another quarter report from Tethys Oil. I'm speaking today from our Muscat office, and I'm not in the same location as Morgan. That could be the occasional glitch in that I'm not being able to follow the slides, but we'll try and minimize any inconvenience. Turning to slide one, our highlights for the quarter. Obviously, everything in the company has gone very well, also for the fourth quarter. Production is up, sales is up, oil prices are down, and that, of course, affects us in several ways. One is the non-cash write-off of the Lithuania producing assets. Production is still ongoing. The oil in the ground is still there, but given an environment of the maybe $50 oil, it's doubtful how much money we will really make from the Lithuania assets, so we've chosen to write them off. Needless to say, it's a non-cash item, and it does not today affect the operations in Lithuania. That, of course, affects the results for the fourth quarter. Otherwise, everything within Tethys is still going extremely well. Our cash position is magnificent. At year-end, it stood at 347 million Swedish crowns. Most of this held in dollars, and at the rate the dollar is going, it's probably increased since the end of the year in SEK. Production continues to evolve well with a record 8,438 barrels of oil per day for December 2014. Reserves at 31st December 2014 saw increases compared to last year, and in particular, the internal reserve replacement ratio of 193% is quite healthy. We should note that most of the reserve increase came during the first half, and I will elaborate on this a little bit later in the report. Turning to the next slide, just to remind you, we are primarily focused on Oman. Lithuania, in this oil price environment, is turning into an exploration play more than a production play, and France is slowly returning from its, at least as far as our license is concerned, its political torpor, and we are seeing activity that may even result in activity on the ground for us later this year. Turning to the reserves, we increased our reserves compared to  2013. In particular, it's attributable to the lower Buah area that was discovered now 2 years ago. We've seen the original lower Buah discoveries grow and expand, and we've also seen a number of, shall we say, satellite fields or satellite accumulations also kick in. And both our reserve increases and our production increases for 2014 were primarily attributable to the lower Buah area. As we can see, most of the increases came in the first half of the year, and the success during the first half actually changed the work program a little bit during the second. It became apparent that water injection most likely would have a very good impact also on the lower Buah carbonates, the same way it has had on the Farha South sandstones. And we revised our drilling model and drilling program a little bit to follow not only the faulting pattern, but also the fracture pattern of the lower Buah area. All in all, it resulted in lower drilling activity during the fourth quarter and revisions of the work program. We are seeing the implementation of these revisions come in now early in the first quarter. We've already started the water, started to implement the water injection program in the Lower Bu area, and we expect to maintain a high drilling activity in this area with at least one rig dedicated solely to this area for the entire year. Towards the end of the presentation, I will give a little bit more detail on the geological side. Now, turning to the next slide, the average daily production, I will take this opportunity to give the floor over to our CFO, Morgan, who will guide you through the financials and the income part of the year. Morgan, please.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very pleased to present this fourth quarter and year-end report this morning. Before moving into the details of financials and production, let me first say that Tethys, on an overall note for the fourth quarter, continued to deliver very strong sales and even stronger cash development. For the full year, this meant that our total sales amounted to over a billion Swedish kroners, net result to 350 million Swedish kroners, a fantastic development during 2014, obviously backed by our operational development. As you will see in the following presentation here, the development has been similarly strong when it comes to cash generation, and our balance sheet is stronger than ever. Now, moving into the details of production, the production on a monthly basis has steadily been growing during the year. The year was ended with yet another production record. Current levels are at 8,438 barrels per day. Unfortunately, some maintenance work decreased production during the month of November. Looking at production on a quarterly basis, production was basically in line between fourth quarter and third quarter 2014. If we look back a little bit longer, the growth was over 50% compared to the fourth quarter a year ago. Behind this tremendous development is the Lower Bu appraisal, as Magnus mentioned earlier, but also the water injection program on Farah. And should probably remind everybody that all of this production comes from Oman, blocks 3 and 4, where we have a 30% interest. It's a 30-year production license, and it's onshore. Moving over to barrels sold, we sold well over 400,000 barrels for the fourth quarter. And for Tethys, all of our sales is made on a monthly basis. Now, the development of barrels sold supersedes the production development for the fourth quarter, explained by a movement from underlift to overlift position. This movement was around 40,000 barrels, which is the largest movement in over-underlift during the year. This was obviously good timing, as oil prices since this shift from underlift to overlift, the price has come down considerably since. Moving over to net sales in Swedish kroners, the net sales was up 5%, 310 million Swedish kroners compared to third quarter 2014. We've seen a 10% oil price decrease. We've seen a strengthening of the U.S. dollar to 8%. But the main driver here from third quarter to fourth quarter is this shift from underlift to overlift. That explains the development. The oil price, we've obviously seen international oil prices coming down during the fourth quarter, but as you may be aware, the oil price for Tethys comes with a two-month lag. The price is very much in line with Brent, but it's a two-month delay. The prices of November, December, and January will have effect in the first quarter 2015. During the fourth quarter, the average achieved price was $97 for Tethys, which is down, but not as much as the spot prices during the fourth quarter. Turning to EBITDA, we continue to have a very strong cash generation. The EBITDA margins are between 65 to 78%. The difference here mainly has to do with OPEX and oil price, which affects the EBITDA margin. OPEX is higher due mainly to timing-related effects. And as I mentioned, the lower oil price brings down the EBITDA margin. It is 200 million Swedish kronors for the fourth quarter, which is down 14% compared to the third quarter. But just to put things in perspective, our EBITDA for the full year 2014 is 753 million Swedish kronors, which really sums up an incredible year for the company. Turning then to expenses, as you can see, the fourth quarter expenses is up. Basically, it has followed the production development in Oman, but for the fourth quarter 2014, it's up mainly to timing-related factors and also compensation for overlift, which is netted out from our income statement. We'll go into OPEX in more detail on the next slide, where you can see when it's adjusted for some of these timing effects, you can see that our OPEX is between $11 and $15 per barrel. Also worth noting here is that of this OPEX, around 50 to 60% is actual lifting cost, the direct production cost from the field. The netback came down mainly due to the lower oil price and the somewhat higher OPEX in the fourth quarter. So for the fourth quarter, netback was $36 per barrel, and previously it was $40 to $45 per barrel. Net result after tax, obviously the development there moving from third quarter's 167 million Swedish kronors to 18 million Swedish kronors is affected by the write-down, as Magnus mentioned, related to the Lithuanian production asset Gargsdai. That non-cash write-down amounted to 127 million Swedish kronors. That explains most of that, but also, as I previously mentioned, the higher OPEX. But again, turning to the full year number of 350 million Swedish kronors is extremely good development for us. And as I mentioned, the year has also been very strong when it comes to cash generation. This is very much visible when we look at our balance sheet. The balance sheet has grown stronger for each quarter during the year. We now have a net cash position of 347 million Swedish kronors compared to a year ago where we had a net debt of 127 million. So very strong cash generation. We also have a senior revolving reserve-based lending facility off balance sheet. It's not in use, but it's there. And important to mention is that almost all cash is held in dollars, approximately $50 million. And we've seen a strong dollar development even since the balance sheet date. So that will continue to help our cash expressed in Swedish kronors. During the fourth quarter, we also launched this share buyback program. And as per year end, we had repurchased 298,000 shares. Looking at oil and gas investments, we can see that they came up a bit during the fourth quarter from the low level in the third quarter of 44 million Swedish kronors to 100 million Swedish in the fourth quarter. These investments are to more than 99% related to blocks 3 and 4, and this contains all of the development appraisal and exploration expenditures that we have or are part of on blocks 3 and 4. Investments for the year was lower than the budget. The investment budget came into $38 million instead of $60 million in the budget program. This is mainly related to that we have pushed forward some of the infrastructure expenditures, mainly related to Lower Bua. And also fewer wells have been drilled due mainly to changes in the drilling program, again also following from new data. This is an ongoing process. Looking then at wells in Oman, as I mentioned, fewer wells were drilled in the fourth quarter compared to third quarter. Four wells were drilled, and of these were two appraisal wells. It has been more of interpretation and desktop work during the second part of 2014 and less work by the drill bit. So with these comments, I'll give the floor back to Magnus for a overview of the assets again. Magnus.
Thank you very much, Morgan. Let me turn then to slide 17 and an overview of the Block 3 and 4 activities. Last year's investment resulted in virtually a doubling of production and also an increase in, if you look at the P3 reserves, of more than 40%. We focused on our main producing areas, the Farha South field, the lower Buah area, and to a limited extent the Sawan East field. We now have a continuous 3D seismic pattern starting in the north of Block 3 where the Farha trend starts and going down to the end of what we now perceive to be the lower Buah area in Block 4. Seismic activity in 2014 continued to be reasonably high, and we've seen the extension of seismic to the south over the, say, Hajma area. This is an area where several previous operators have reported oil shows and oil discoveries, but that have never been brought into production. And needless to say, we are quite interested in seeing the interpretation of the Sai Hajma area and what that will do for the far field exploration for the year. The Answas area will be the subject of the occasional well, as was the Masira area where LE1 was drilled during the, well, completed actually during the fourth quarter this year. We are also continuing to expand the near field seismic with seismic all the way from to the border of Blocks 3 and Blocks 4 to the west. Most of the activity from the production and increased reserve side came from Farha South water injection from the lower Buah, and we expect particular the lower Buah to continue to develop very well. In effect, we doubled production during 2014, and we are implementing water injection in the lower Buah area as well as continuing the exploration. Turning to the next slide, let me remind you of the producing Farha South field, compartmentalized sandstones, where we still maintain a good 80% success rate in the wells that have been drilled. We continue to generate leads here, and drilling activity, which stood back a little bit in 2014, primarily due to the success of the lower Buah wells, is expected to increase also here in the Farha South area, given the very successful implementation of water injection last year. Turning south to the lower Buah area, we drilled, completed now well over 20 wells in this area. We have obtained production from three separate layers, the lower Buah, the lower Bashir, which we also have in Block 3, and the Khufai, which we have to the east here in the Sawan field. But by far, the lower Buah is the most prolific of the reservoirs. We have encountered also heavy oil in this area, the same as we have similar to what we encountered in the Khufai and in the Amin and in the Mikrat in the Sawan area earlier. And slowly a picture emerges where we have a continue to have large accumulations of heavy oil with smaller accumulations of light, movable, in this case, slightly above 30 degree API oil. We are focusing the program on continued appraisal of the green areas where oil is currently being produced, and given what we learned during the first half, water injection will be implemented in all the green areas. but also the appraisal and exploration and mapping of new prospects is continuing. And at this stage, we really see no end to where the possibility of finding new prospects actually is. We are moving to the north, up towards Block 3. The boundary for Block 3 is actually just north of the furthest yellow dot here. We are hopeful we'll find lower Bua prospects also in the southern potential extension of the Farah field, where in that case we'll be able to address multiple targets when we start drilling there again. And we are quite confident that the survey addition will continue for mapping and drilling additional prospects here. So to summarize, we are naturally very, very happy with the massive production increase for 2014. We are quite hopeful that what we learned from the lower Bua during the first half and interpreted and reevaluated during the second half will bear fruit in 2015, when we continue to focus on the lower Bua, both when it comes to reserves and when it comes to production. Seismic studies continue to be extremely important to understand the rest of the block. We are adding more lines, but in particular, we're interpreting what we did in 2014, and hopefully that will lead to additional far-field exploration wells in June 2015. We also would expect to see the lead E area seismic be reinterpreted before work will continue there again. And to top it all off, our Lithuania production is turning more into an exploration play, but fully financed. Three wells are planned on the Ryson license in the second quarter of 2015. Still remains a bit of a dark horse, but if successful, will actually add important value. Otherwise, of course, oil price is of great interest to us. We will generate a very healthy cash flow, and we are certain to be able to meet from that cash flow our expected investments in Oman, at least what's needed to continue to increase production and reserves. But with our strong balance sheet, we are, of course, in a unique position to capitalize on the lower oil price. And if it stays down long enough, we will certainly intensify the real efforts now to possibly find new projects in other places, while, of course, at the same time, reviewing how best to spend the cash in current areas, in new areas, or also how to possibly distribute more to shareholders. All of these are on the table and being discussed within the company and the board of directors. But first and foremost, we are closely monitoring the oil price and trying to adjust our action to optimize the best outcome of the oil price development. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to open the floor for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press 0 and then 1 on your telephone keypad and you will enter to a queue. After you are announced, please ask your question. Our first question is coming from Mr. Johan Spetz from Pareto Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and thank you, Magnus and Morgan, for that presentation. Just one question on your expectations for 2015 in terms of how many rigs you will have operating and potentially also how many wells that drilling may result in. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Johan. There is an element of uncertainty as to how the budget will play out. But to answer your rig question, we will be looking at 3 to 5 rigs for the year. Mainly focused, one on the lower Bua. We'll continue with workovers and continue with water injection in both areas. And as the drilling program will solidify as we move into the next couple of months, I'm sure we can give even further guidance to this in our first quarter report. But at least 3 and possibly more rigs are slated to be used this year.
Okay, thanks. And so far, no firmer guidance on CapEx for 2015?
Not more than that we would expect to cover CapEx from cash flow.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I remind you, if you have a question, please press 0 and then 1 on your telephone keypad. You have to press 0 and then 1. Next question is from Mr. Johan Widmark from Erik Penser Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, Magnus and Morgan. This is Johan Widmark. I was just wondering about this share buyback program. I understand that everything seems to be on the table until we know more about the oil price, but will you continue with the share buyback program and before you have decided on the CapEx plan? And could you elaborate a bit more on that, please? Thanks.
The share buyback program was implemented during the fourth quarter and in a fairly small way. The tool is still there. We are happy with the way it's been employed so far. And depending a little bit on what happens with oil prices and possibly other ways of distributing cash to shareholders, we will address the share buyback program in one way or another. I would like to be more specific, but right now I can't. And let's just say that we are happy with the results so far, and it's still on the table.
Okay, thanks.
We have no further questions, so back to your speakers.
In that case, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening in. And see you, if not before, in May for the first quarter results. Thank you.